This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A federal court ordered the North Carolina legislature to redraw their district lines and hold a new election next year. The court found 28 of the state House and Senate districts were unconstitutionally racially gerrymandered. The decision requires the redrawing of lines and shortens all the terms of members elected earlier this month to 1 year. And the legislative branch does not have a monopoly on instability. Pat McCrory is still challenging the governor's race despite Roy Cooper's lead of nearly 10,000 votes as of Wednesday morning. Joining me now, Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery. Welcome back, Jeff.
Great to be here.
Tell us about this ruling by a three-judge panel yesterday.
Yes, this came down, and what it rules is that 28 of these legislative districts are illegal racial gerrymanders. In many cases, there are more than 50% of the registered voters in these districts, they're African-American. And the term that plaintiffs have used are they're packing voters. And this is what voting rights folks have argued against and tried to get away from. So what the three-judge panel has ruled is that they will have to redraw maps. Somewhat ironically, the legislature will have to redraw maps. And
same guys who drew these. Well, before you get there, the actual, we knew this going in just before the election. This ruling came down that this illegal racial discrimination and gerrymandering had happened by our legislature. But it's too close to the election. We can't do it now. So they have the election.
Right.
And now they come back and say, OK, but we can't really let these results stand. So now, because of what the legislature did, we've got to have a new vote.
Right. And that might take place in 2017, about a year from now. Now, the Republicans who are in power in the General Assembly are going to challenge this. They're going to go to the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court doesn't have to consider it. They could overrule the lower federal three-judge panel. They could, you know, let this ride out and move forward. Of course, one of the – I hate to use the word funny, but one of the odd twists about this whole thing is that a panel of federal judges have said these are essentially illegal seats, and in some way you could then contend a legal representation, right?
Right.
But they're still going to have a long legislative session. It's going to last probably at least 6 months, and they're going to enact law and policy for North Carolina. What they have been told is that they need to redraw these maps by March 15th. And of course, if you are looking at a puzzle and you change a puzzle piece, that's going to change the boundaries of the adjacent puzzle pieces. So this is going to affect an estimated 116 of the 170 legislative races. So normally, General Assembly, House, and Senate seats have two-year terms. Now it will be a one-year term for those elected in 2016. They'll have a 2017 election, another one-year term, and then we'll be back, presumably, to two-year terms starting in 2018. What is at the heart of some of this will be another round of Democrats trying to end veto-proof majorities in one of the two chambers. With a changing population, Democrats think that this is an opportunity for them to do that. That, of course, is presuming we have another election in 2017. It looks, as of the moment, like we will.
Who brought this case and why?
A series of voters in these 28 legislative districts who made the claim that the boundaries were illegal, and it has moved through federal jurisdiction. And that we should note that there have been Republican judges. Thomas Schroeder was one of the judges who is involved in this case. He was nominated by a Republican president. So it's not just sometimes the rhetoric you hear from lawmakers in Raleigh's radical liberal justices, and that's not all. That's not all encompassing right now.
No, surgical precision was what the courts used. So if there's any kind of intent here, at the moment, the courts have found the intent was racial discrimination on the part of the North Carolina legislature, at least according to the courts at the moment. And as you say, there are both parties represented on that court. So now we know what happens next. And of course, it does call into question any of the legislation that's passed. I mean, they can say, all right, you have a year, but there's still kind of questions. Let's leave that aside for the moment. Would there be another primary?
Yes, there would be another primary. It would be in late August or early September. And one of the things the three judges noted in the ruling yesterday is that while elections do have costs, they said, quote, those costs pale in comparison to the injury caused by allowing citizens to continue to be represented by legislators elected pursuant to a racial gerrymander. A special election in the fall of 2017 is an appropriate remedy. One of the concerns is cost. The other concern, of course, is that there will be low voter turnout because this is municipal elections, and we may very well, I mean, we just had whatever it was, 68% voter turnout. It may be less than a quarter of that next year. I mean, you might have 14, 15, 16% of folks. Maybe it'll tick above 20, but low voter turnout will likely influence what happens in 2018.
All right, well, let's talk about the governor's race now. Incumbent Pat McCrory continues to protest the vote. He's close to 10,000 votes behind now. Mm-hmm. The vote count in favor of Roy Cooper gets higher by the day. Mm-hmm. What's going on? Where are we?
It is possible that once local results are certified, we're waiting on the final few counties, that this is actually above 10,000, and that would not trigger a recount. Hoping that state results, I mean, just in terms of timeliness, that state results are certified in the next day or two, that could happen by the end of Wednesday. And then the state, as opposed to the local counties, will go ahead and will move towards certification of the vote. At this point, there are still challenges or protests outstanding in Durham and Bladen County. But I think two important things to note are, one, the vast majority of protests and challenges have been thrown out for either a lack of evidence or because they were fraudulent, they were inaccurate. And at no point during the last couple of weeks has there been any indication of widespread voter fraud or enough votes in question to sway the outcome. That just hasn't hung in the balance at any point.
Particularly claims of fraud by the McCrory camp that turned to be inaccurate themselves, trying to actually take away the vote from people saying that they were felons, and they weren't. These challenges turned out to be, if not fraudulent, at least wrong.
Right. News and Observer had a report out last week that of the 43 individuals who the McCrory campaign asserted were felons who had voted, 18 were in fact not felons. So nearly half of that, again, relatively small number. When we're talking, just for context's sake, about 6.5 million voters in the state, and I believe about 4.7 million who voted on November 8th. So then there was also, of course, the World War II veteran we've heard a little bit about in Guilford County, 101 years old, who the McCrory campaign asserted that gentleman voted in two states. It has been widely debunked in the media that he did, the 101-year-old World War II veteran, not vote in two states.
So there's very little evidence. What the McCrory camp is saying is we've got the right to do this, but has yet to prove any evidence. And when they actually give us cases, most of those are thrown out as inaccurate. And, of course, we know racial gerrymandering, the voter ID law, mm-hmm. also overturned
right.
by the courts, unconstitutional. It seems that if there were voter fraud, you would might be able to make the case that it's the Republican Party. Is there anybody making that case? Will there be lawsuits claiming voter fraud on the part of the Republican Party, given the amount of chaos created by this legislature?
I have floated that question out there, and I have not received confirmation on that yet. I do not know at this point, but it certainly is interesting.
Cooper's lead, as we say, is increasing and every day.
It's almost doubled since election night.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's an important factor in all this. The strategists and the political scientists thought it would tick up narrowly, 5-10% maybe, but it's almost doubled since election night. And it will, we're still waiting on those final numbers to come in. Of course, the twist forward is what kind of policy will the General Assembly try to enact moving forward because of this? It appears this whole scene of chaos is laying some sort of trying to lay some sort of foundation to say, hey, real problems here in North Carolina, need to go ahead and make some changes again. But of course, that law, as you mentioned, the 2013 very controversial voting law, was struck down by the Fourth Circuit Federal Court in Richmond. The nature of the courts, both the 8-justice U.S. Supreme Court and the federal court, hasn't changed. So the judiciary is not, favorable to the Republicans, who may very well take another shot.
Well, and it might backfire if you say we've got big problems here in North Carolina and there's no evidence. And every time you challenge a case,
right.
it turns out you were wrong. You might say, you see, there was never voter fraud to begin with. That was the claim by opponents to voter ID. And now this election proves, in fact, there is no voter fraud. So it might be interesting to see politically whether this strategy of trying to create the veneer of chaos actually backfires on the Republicans. I guess that's something we should watch going forward.
We should. And if there's an election in 2017, will this resonate? Will voters still care about this as one of the factors as some registered voters go to the polls, we think, in 11 months or so?
Hey, you spoke with Libertarian candidate for governor Lon Cecil, who got more than 103,000 votes, which that margin could have swayed the race.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that conversation like?
I asked him if he thought he swayed this election. And he said, I don't know if I swayed the election. He really thought that he pulled voters from both the Republican and the Democratic parties. Of course, a lot of independents here as well in North Carolina. And that, I pressed him a little bit and asked if he had any data or you know, what the breakdown was. And he didn't have a sense of that, whether it was 50-50 or, you know, 60-70% Republicans. What the experts, the political scientists and the strategists tell us is that libertarians historically take many more votes from Republicans. So if Lon Cecil were not in this race, if there were not a libertarian candidate, based on history, it seems much more likely that Pat McCrory would have another 4 years in office.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. I mean, you know, hard to know, but it's interesting to kind of speculate on that. Well, what about an end in sight? Is there a timeline at all for resolving this governor's race? Any way of knowing when it might be resolved?
The State Board of Elections is expected to certify results from all 100 counties by December 9th. That it may not happen by December 9th, but I think it will probably happen by mid-December. Of course, this could get hung up with a legal challenge or some other curveball or something that we haven't yet seen. So perhaps by mid-December, we'll get a little more clarity. The executive inauguration is scheduled, for now, January 7th, 2017.
Stay tuned. Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Thanks, Jeff.
Talk to you soon.
Just ahead, the untold story of the 1971 Attica prison uprising and what it means for criminal justice today. Talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.